And I'm really excited about this segment, homemade applesauce, because our Anna Apples
is loaded.
Absolutely loaded. Yep. I have filled up buckets as I'm thinning them out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on the end of your apple limb, you'll have 6, 7 in a cluster.
In a cluster,
you
yeah.
Thin those out so you get big apples.
Oh, you're so much better than I am.
I thin them, well, because the horses absolutely love them.
Yeah.
So we'll fill up buckets and then go scatter them through the horse pens before we feed. And, I mean, we get done and I look at the bucket, I'm like, gosh, are we going to have any left? And you look back at the tree and you're like, we didn't take anything off.
Right.
We have so much more to do still.
Yeah, exactly. That it just goes back to the abundance that I just love talking about in our gardens.
But they're not the best apples by themselves. It's not like a Red Delicious or a Macintosh or a Little Tart. They're green, but they're great baking apples. So we have a great homemade apple pie recipe. I'm sitting here with pen in hand waiting for this homemade applesauce recipe.
Oh, there you go. Well, maybe I have it on my computer. You know what? The interesting thing about Anna and Dorset Golden Apples, though, is that right now they're tart. So if you like a tart apple, they're good to eat as a tart apple. And the longer they stay on the tree, so in 30 days, they'll be a sweet apple.
Hmm.
You know, so they do get, let them stay on the tree a little bit longer, and they do get sweeter.
I will remember that.
Yeah. Yeah, so the apples, the Anna and Dorset are the only two that I endorse for the Phoenix, the low desert area, because they ripen early. They ripen in late May and early June, and they're great for eating, for dehydrating, for applesauce, for baking. It's a good all-around apple.
Anna and Dorset. And how do you make your applesauce?
Oh, my gosh. You know, it's been 3 or 4 years since I did it, but basically what you do is I use an apple peeler, and it peels them and cores them all at the same time. So I stick it on there, and it's, you know, it's one of those twirly things.
The hand crank.
The hand crank twirly things, yeah.
Like
exactly.
A slinky.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. They come out like a slinky, and then I throw them in a big pot, and I cook them up, and that cooks them down. I add some cinnamon usually, and usually we don't have to add sugar, and put it in jars. So there, in canning, there's two parts of the process, right, Kari?
Yeah, two parts of the process.
There's the prepping of the recipe, and then there's the canning.
Right.
And it's two separate pieces. So, you know, what I just explained was the prepping. And then what we do, well, actually, why don't you share with us, Kari, the actual canning process?
Okay. Well, what Greg said, I want to go back to the prepping. The prepping is really important. You want to make sure you're cutting off any bad spots, get rid of them, and follow your recipe exactly. Follow it exactly. You know, once you learn how to can, you can play around with the recipe, but to start, you got to follow it. And then you fill your jars, and there's special equipment for filling those jars. But backing up, those jars need to be sterile. So you'll want to put them through the dishwasher on sterilize or boil them in hot water. You want them to be clean. You don't want any germs in there. You don't want to can anything that will make you sick. So start with really clean jars, and then you need some special equipment for filling those jars. There are wide mouth funnels that you can use, and that makes it really easy to fill your jars, and it also keeps food from getting on the edges, because you don't want any food on the rim of the jar, because that will prevent it from sealing properly. And you fill your jars up to within an inch or half an inch of the top. And you put your lid on. The lid, there's two parts to it. There's a seal, and then there's the ring. The ring is the part that screws on, and the seal is the middle part of the lid. Once you've got all your jars prepared, then you can use a rack that you put your jars in, and you lower it down into the canner. You bring your canner up to boiling, and you Just boil it for as long as the recipe says. Make sure that the water covers the jars, about an inch of water over the top of the jars, so that the whole jar gets bathed in that boiling water.
Now, is it okay to drop them in while they're boiling already?
I would not do that because you'll probably break the jar because of the quick temperature change.
Okay.
Put them in before you start boiling.
That's the other thing. I often use jars in the freezer, and you don't ever want to bring a jar out of the freezer and stick it under water. You let it, you know, you let it warm
up. Come to room temperature.
Yeah, exactly.
Wonderful. Well, we're talking about food preserve. We've got Farmer Greg of the Urban Farm and Kari Spencer of the Micro Farm Project. We've got pickling and fermenting still on the to-do, dehydrating, freezing. You know what something else I've wanted to do but haven't got to yet is juicing. I've seen on Lehman's you can get a juicer. I've wanted to make apple juice out of all that.